Well, good morning to you.
My name is Pastor Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here. If I hadn't had a chance to meet you yet, I'm the executive pastor here at Peace. Welcome to those of you here in the worship center. And I want to say hello to those of you who are in our high school room, in our venue, in our gym, various classrooms. In fact, for those here in the worship center, can we just give a round of applause to let the other people know that we're all gathered together here? There we go. Also want to say hello to those of you who are joining us online and maybe who will be listening later on the podcast. All right, let's get to it. If you look out in the world today, there's not a wonderful picture to be seen, is there? There's so much brokenness, so much tension, so much division, so much just, I don't even know how to encapsulate this in one word. I mean, the political divide couldn't be more heated. Cultural tension is so strong. Add to that a pandemic. I mean, it's like, I feel like the entire world right now is like holding their breath and waiting. And we're waiting for this one big thing to happen that will correct all of this. I feel like we're all waiting for this wonderful, huge, big thing that would bring this sweeping change that we all are longing for. We're waiting for that leader to rise up who will unite us all. We're waiting for that vaccine to be developed that would cure us all. We're waiting for that law to be passed that would bring justice for all. We are waiting for this big thing to happen that will make everything as it should be. And then we have Jesus comes on the scene, and he says, the kingdom of heaven, right? The kingdom of heaven, just to clarify, the kingdom of heaven is that where everything is as it should be. The kingdom of heaven, this big thing you all are waiting for, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Now you can't see this. Here's a jar of them. It's not that exotic of a thing. Just go to the spice section at Harding's. You'll find mustard seeds. But Jesus says that big thing you all are waiting for, it's like a mustard seed. Small, small seed. And this guy took it and he planted it in his garden along with everything else. But that mustard seed, that grew. And it grew. And it grew to be larger than all the other plants in the garden. In fact, it grew to be a tree. And it was such a big tree that the birds came and found their nest in its branches. Jesus is saying that all of creation will come to find its fulfillment, its home, its satisfaction in the kingdom of God. And he says, it's not that big thing, it's this small thing. And that's where it starts. And we are in the midst of a sermon series right now called Secret Kingdom, how the parables reveal what's been hidden. And Jesus spoke in parables all the time. In fact, for this entire sermon series, we're just going to be in Matthew chapter 13. If you are part of Peace Church, or you plan on coming back to Peace Church, just keep your bookmark in Matthew chapter 13. It's just a walkthrough of all the parables of Matthew chapter 13. So if you have your Bible, you can start turning there now, but it's a series of parables. Now, as we get going, what is a parable? Great question. I'm so thankful you asked. Let me explain it. A parable, you know, the word parable is the combination of two Greek words, para and balo. Para is where we get our word parallel, so alongside, and balo is a Greek word that means to throw or to cast. So a parable is where you take two things and you line them up, you throw them side by side. Specifically for parables, it's a truth and a story. You take a truth and a story and you line them up, and that's what a parable is. And it's one of Jesus' favorite ways to speak. And so, of all the parables, of all the analogies, of all the words of Jesus, of all the analogies, of all the similes, the parable of the mustard seed is so well known, it's so beloved, but I'm afraid we don't fully understand it. In one teaching, Jesus does use the mustard seed to talk about our faith and how a faith as small as a mustard seed is still a faith that can move mountains. But today, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. So let's read it together. I'll read it for you. Matthew chapter 13 will be verse 31 to 32. I'll have it on the screen if you want. Let's read it and let's dive in today. The mustard seed. Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 32. And he, Jesus, put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of a mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants, and it becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make their nest in its branches." Let's pray that God would open our hearts to this message and that the Holy Spirit would reveal its truth to us. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we pray this morning for those of us here in the worship center, for those in our other venues, for those joining us online, for those who may be listening later to this message. We pray, Father, that you, by the power of your Spirit and by the truth of your word, you would glorify yourself. And we pray that our hearts would become more aligned with yours, that we may be more faithful agents of your love in this world. I also pray that you would fill us with hope this morning, and that we would share that love and that hope with the world around us who so desperately needs it. And we pray these things in the most precious, perfect, and powerful name there is. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So if you're a note taker like I am, here's the main point for today if you want to write this down. The kingdom of heaven is where everything is as it should be. The kingdom of heaven is where everything is as it should be. Every sermon in this sermon series is going to have two primary headings. This is how we're going to break up every sermon in the sermon series. The first part is going to be seeing the kingdom. What is Jesus trying to show us through this parable? And then living in the kingdom, turning a story told into a life lived. So first, seeing the kingdom. You know, I think one of the hardest parts for us as we consider what the kingdom of heaven is that so much is unseen. And we contrast that in a world where everything is so seen and so visible and seen live. You know, unlike 100 years ago, we would get a newspaper that would tell us if something happens a few days prior, if not a week before. But that is so different than our world where we hear about things and we see things, not just moments after they unfold, but literally as they unfold. When the riots were happening, you could log on to Facebook and watch somebody who was broadcasting live the riot as it was happening. Everything in this world is so seen right here, right now, visible, live. And it's constantly just inundating us. And we don't even have a moment to think or breathe. We don't have a moment to process or consider what we are watching before, bam, another image, bam, another image, bam, and it's all live. And it's this constant flood being thrown at us. And we don't even have time to stop and think and process. So what do we do? We do what everyone else does. Our only response is to react. We don't have a chance to think about it. Our only response is to react. And you better react immediately because the world is telling us that your silence is consent. Even if we want to take a day to think about it, your silence is consent to what is happening. So you better have something to say the second you see something. And this world has lost the value of discerning. This world has lost the value of considering and thinking about what we are viewing because it's so constant. And we need to add our thoughts rapidly to what we are seeing. And this is so different from what Jesus says. He says, you can't see this. You can't see the kingdom of heaven. It's like a small mustard seed. You have to get right up close to see it. And by the way, we're going to put it in the ground. And it's going to take years to develop. In fact, it'll take generations. In fact, as we'll learn, it's going to take all of history to find its fulfillment. But our only response to this world is to react. We don't have time to process or to consider what we are constantly seeing. We just get caught up in the reactions and in the hashtag. All the world, all the news, all the opinions, all the cultural movements can be seen at any moment. And here's the truth of our world. Whatever you want to believe about the world, you can find your confirmation in 30 seconds on your phone. Whatever you want to believe about the world, you can find your confirmation Two people can have polar opposite ideas about the world, can each, in a few seconds, pull up confirmation about what we believe. So we are a people who are constantly walking around feeling that we are fully justified, fully informed about exactly what is happening, and we know when everyone else doesn't. And we walk around with this pride that we would reject in anyone else. And that is just the great hypocrisy of our time. And we just don't have the eyes to see it. And so we have Jesus, and he comes and he tells stories. He tells stories. Part of me is like, Jesus, I don't want stories. I want you to say it like it is. Tell us exactly like it is. Tell us what to do. Give us a command. That's what we like. Just tell it as it is and tell me what to do. I can do that. But Jesus doesn't play it like that. He tells us a story. Story upon story upon story. And he's painting these live pictures before us, but we don't have the eyes to see it. And so his disciples come to him earlier in this chapter, and they're like, Jesus, what's with all the stories? What's with all the parables? And listen to this exchange. Matthew chapter 13, I'll start at verse 10 and work my way through. Then the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? He's saying the rest of the world, they only can see what's right before them at any given moment. He said, but us, for those who are the people of God, for those who live in the kingdom of heaven, we look beyond what is right before us. We look beyond what's popping up on our cell phone's screen. We look for the deeper truths of this world. We see what God is actually doing behind the surface. We look beyond what is seen, and I'm going to tell you right now, that's a word for us. We are to look beyond social media and beyond cultural hashtags and beyond what is popular, and we look for the deeper truth about what God is doing in this world, and I'm telling you right now, that is very unpopular. You will not gain Instagram followers taking this approach. When you question what the world and what the culture has so readily accepted, we have to look deeper. If you only look to the news, or worse, if you only look to social media, you will be disheartened by what is happening in the world, and you should be, because it is disheartening. But that is not all that is happening. And this is why Jesus spoke in parables. He says the kingdom of heaven is secret. The Greek word there in the original language is mysterion, mystery. That's where we get our word mystery. It's secret, it's mystery, it's hidden, but it's being revealed for those who will have the eyes to see it. But for too many of us, our eyes are painted red with anger about the world, and we can't see beyond the screen. But do not be discouraged, church. Do not be discouraged. Take heart. The kingdom of God is here. So let's go back a second. Let's go back and take a look. What is the kingdom of heaven? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to give you some definitions about the kingdom of heaven, but you're still going to walk out with some questions, because the kingdom of heaven is bigger than any one sermon. This is why I encourage you to continue to come back. This is why Jesus takes all these parables to try and show us what it is. So what is the kingdom of heaven? You'll notice the term kingdom of heaven, or the more popular term, the kingdom of God. They refer to the same thing. The kingdom of God is a term that you'll find all over the New Testament. But this term, the more kosher term of the kingdom of heaven, is used only by Matthew. He uses it 31 times. While Matthew does use the term kingdom of God 5 times in his gospel, Matthew obviously favors the term kingdom of heaven because he uses it over 30 times. And this is probably because when you read the gospel of Matthew, there's an obvious Jewish slant to his gospel. Matthew is very conscious of the Jewish readers who will be reading his account of Jesus. And the Jews, they didn't like to use or write the word God, so Matthew probably would more often refer to the kingdom of heaven, but referring to the same thing. But here's what I tell you. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is not a place or a country marked by boundaries. It's the rule and reign marked by the king. It's not a place marked by boundaries. It's the rule and reign marked by the king. And so, for instance, when people call me outdated or even hateful, when people call me hateful simply because I have a different sexual ethic or a different understanding of marriage, all I can say is, well, I'm part of the kingdom of heaven. I'm not part of the system of the world. And my king has a different way of life for me. In fact, my king has made a new way of life for me that he thinks is better for all of humans and for all of human flourishing. So I'm not hateful. I just have a different home. And my home is in the kingdom of heaven. I find my home and my security, or you could say I find my nest and my rest in the branches of the kingdom of heaven where Jesus is king. And all of this, he says, is like a mustard seed. Now, if we weren't trying to do this like minimal touch social distancing thing, I would totally like lob this out to you guys and pass it around. You can look and see what the kingdom of heaven is like, and we'd share our germs with everybody. But here's the thing. Again, they're not that exotic. Just go to the grocery store. You can find a little package of them in the spice section. But he says it's a small thing. So what does the mustard seed show us? The mustard seed shows us that the kingdom of heaven is not like what we'd expect. They're small. They're really small. They're 1/16 of an inch. That right there is a mustard seed. That's one of these little guys right here. 1/16 of an inch, if you line 16 of them up together side by side, you'd get roughly an inch in length. While there are smaller seeds than the mustard seed in the world, Jesus is not making a declaration about botany here. He's making a dramatic comparison to the kingdom of God. Mustard seeds are small, and they would qualify into the smallest category of seeds, but even more specific to Jesus' Jewish culture, mustard seeds would have been the smallest seed used in Palestinian agriculture of that time. So when Jesus talked about the smallest seed, it's because everyone there knew that this was the smallest seed that they would actually use. And this small thing, 1/16 of an inch, would grow to be a tree over 12 feet tall. So what does the mustard seed parable show us? It shows us that the kingdom of God is not like what we would expect. And I'm going to tell you right now, for those of you who are, you know, kind of like me, like the red-blooded Americans who like things large and in charge, this is a little bit of a confrontational parable for me. I mean, you would think that the kingdom of God would be compared to like the raging sun, brighter than anything in the heavens. You would think that the kingdom of heaven would be like a violent storm where nothing on earth could stop it. You think the kingdom of God would be like a decorated army, unbeatable in battle. You would even think that Jesus could compare the kingdom of God to America. Yeah, I know it's funny, but it's true. Think about it. This small thing, but Jesus doesn't compare the kingdom of God. We would think he would compare it to something huge like America. Greatest country the world's ever known. Greatest military might in human history. The world standard for economy. Literally the place that people will die trying to get to. You would think he would compare the kingdom of God to America, but no. He flips that all on its head and says, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Small. So small. Smallest seed that you guys would actually use. And he challenges us deeply. And I would say, especially for us Western-minded people who think that we know everything, Jesus is immensely trying to bring some humility to our approach in life. And he says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. He doesn't compare it to this tremendous thing. He compares it to this tiny thing. And yet through this, Jesus also shows us, and he will show us, that the mustard seed shows us the kingdom of heaven is better than we expect. The kingdom of heaven has this lowly, insignificant beginnings. When all the world is thrown into chaos, the kingdom of God seems like the last thing on anyone else's mind. With everything that's going on in the world, who cares what the Bible says? But yet God is doing something behind the scenes. When all the world is in chaos, the church should cry for God to move and bring his kingdom to fulfillment, to grow beyond its mustard seed beginnings and grow to what it's meant to be. The place where not just God rules and reigns, but the place where all things find their fulfillment, where everything is as it should be, because it's better than we expect. It's not just a seed becoming larger than everything else in the garden. It's the place where not just the birds will make their nests. It's the place where all of creation finds its fulfillment. So how do we live? How do we live as citizens in the kingdom of heaven when we look at the mustard seed? It's living in the kingdom. Let me give you three ways that I think this parable points to us living in the kingdom. But I'll warn you, I'm going to warn you now, don't make fun of me. I dug deep into my Southern Baptist roots to pull out this alliteration, but I think we need to hear it. Living in the kingdom means providing perspective. Living in the kingdom means promoting patience. And living in the kingdom means personifying peace. By the way, I'm neither Southern nor Baptist, but there you go. So here we go. Living in the kingdom means providing perspective. Now, we've talked a lot about perspective already in this sermon series, because here's the truth. You can't talk about the kingdom of heaven without gaining a new perspective on life. So let me focus on one key area for us here on perspective, and it's identity. See, your identity is what you believe about yourself, no matter what other people think. But for too many people in here and too many people listening to me later, our identity is in exactly what other people think. See, my identity is not in what I've done, but it's in what God is doing in me. And what is he doing in me? He is making me more like Christ every single day. Now, sure, there are some days where I have some bad days, and there are even seasons of my life where I may have slipped more into the enemy's hands than into God's hands. But nowadays, it doesn't take much for the Holy Spirit to remind me of who I am. And who am I? I am Ryan Kimmel. And I'm a man being made into the image of God, and I am not perfect, but that's where I'm heading. Little by little, day by day. See, but the world wants you to think that you are nothing than anything more than the worst thing that you've ever done. The world wants you to think that you are the sum total of the worst thing that you've done in your life, and that's all you'll ever be, and you'll never be greater than that. And I'm telling you right now, God wants to slap that in the face. God's in the business of pulling people out of the worst and into who he's making them to be. God will not allow the world to undermine what he's doing in a person. It may not be readily seen because you may not be able to see it on a day-by-day basis from a mustard seed growing into a mustard tree, but God is at work. So if you have the mind of Christ, then have the eyes of Christ to see what he's doing in a person's life, to see what he's doing in your life. So listen again to the words of this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make their nests in its branches. See, when the world looks at what God is doing, it may not see much. But when God is done with his work, just like the largest plant in a garden, it will be undeniable. See, but me, I want to be like those birds. I just want to fly to the kingdom of heaven and make my nest and my rest in the branches where Jesus is king. And I might fall in the dirt of this world time and again, but God is growing me just like he's growing his kingdom. And so for those who are in Christ, let the kingdom of heaven provide you with a new perspective with what God is doing in this world and what he's doing in the mirror. But I'm going to tell you right now, it takes patience, a lot of it. And so living in the kingdom means promoting patience. See, if there's one thing that I think Christians need to have and need to demonstrate now more than ever, it's patience. Listen to me. Please listen to me. The world is lost. The world is conflicted. The world is confused. It can't even agree on what it wants to see done. The world is lost. We must be patient with them. We can't expect them to have it all figured out. They are lost. We have to be patient, church. We cannot get into bickering matches. I'm telling you right now, we will never argue our place. We have to demonstrate patience. We will never convince the world of our place in this world, because the truth is, we're made for another kingdom. We're made for the kingdom of heaven. I'm not saying that we don't speak up for what we believe. We most certainly do. But if our godly words are not backed by a godly life, we're probably doing more harm than good. If what you have to say does not come from a place of love, then it will only come across as a clanging cymbal. If you can have patience with someone or something, I think it's a sign that you're speaking from the kingdom of heaven. And even though we may be terribly grieved by the choices of this world, with what this world is promoting, with what this world is doing with our culture, we still must have patience with them. Not because we are better and they are worse, but because they are lost and we are found. In everything that we do, including our social media posts, should always point people to God. Should always point people to Christ. Should always point people to the way that things should be. We need to point people to Jesus so that they also can be found in him. The world, they need us to show them patience. So how can we be patient? Well, how can we not be patient? I mean, we are the people waiting for the fulfillment of the kingdom of heaven. And it's growing from the smallest seed to a very large plant. And this will take all of history. We are patient with the world because we are patient as we wait for the kingdom of heaven to find its fulfillment. But Jesus says, when the seed has grown, it is larger than all the plants and becomes a tree. When it has grown, we are still waiting for this fulfillment. But we can now experience its goodness, and we can now experience its peace. And so if you are a follower of Christ, we absolutely must be personifying peace to the world around us. Living in the kingdom means personifying peace. You know, a couple months back when COVID hit and it started creeping across the country and swept across West Michigan, we all kind of freaked out. And you know what we did? You know, we had never experienced a health crisis like this. We've never experienced a pandemic like this. We freaked out. And so you know what we did? We went and bought toilet paper. What else are you going to do? I heard someone else was buying it, and there wasn't going to have much left. So we all went and got toilet paper. We all kind of freaked out. I'll tell you something right now. Living in the kingdom means personifying peace. So I could put it like this. The kingdom of heaven is where nobody freaks out. The kingdom of heaven is where nobody freaks out. See, people fight for survival. People fight to protect their own. I don't judge anyone for doing that, to wanting to ensure their family had what they needed during times of uncertainty. But for so many people, they fought this battle for survival, what they thought was a battle for survival, because they fear what's on the end if they lose that battle. But we, the people of God, we don't fear what's on the other side of the losing battle for survival, because we know It's paradise. Paradise is what waits for us when we lose the battle for survival. We don't freak out. You know, I once heard someone say this. If you're calm when everyone else is scared, it may not be because you are brave. It might be because you're ignorant. The peace that Christians are to demonstrate is the type of peace that makes other people think, wow, you're either really brave or really stupid. Why? Because the Bible says that the peace that we have in Christ is the type of peace that surpasses understanding. Listen to this verse, Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. For those of us who are under the rule and reign of Christ, who are in the kingdom of heaven, we have a peace that protects our hearts and a peace that protects our minds. And it's a peace that other people do not understand. But you know what else? It's a peace that we don't even understand. It surpasses all understanding. When the world is freaking out and they look at me and they say, why aren't you freaking out? I can be like, I don't know why. I just have this peace in me that surpasses understanding. I'm in Christ. Whom shall I fear? And so we are the people. When the world is in a pandemic and when the world is on fire, we can personify peace. We can show them what peace looks like when they simply will just look at our lives. And this is why the church is such a great thing. In a body of believers like this, you ain't going to run out of toilet paper. Just contact us. We'll get you what you need. We don't freak out. We personify peace when the world is so red hot with tension. And we are the peacemakers in the midst of this. You know, when this whole COVID thing did start, I think every pastor, you know, raced to their social media to try and like say some inspiring thing to calm the nerves of people. And I did that too. And we raced and we put our little post out there and I said something like, all right, church, this is a time to show the world what it means to be the church. Post. Ooh, so profound. Lives changed. No. What I wish I would have said was, church, this is the time for us to personify peace. In this time of uncertainty, like most of us have never known in our generation, this is a time that we can show the world what true peace and shalom is like in our hearts. We are not people of tension. We are not people. We are peaceful people. Peaceful people do not throw gasoline on the fire. Tensions are red hot right now in our country. We need peacemakers. We need to be the people of the kingdom of heaven. We need to show the world a better picture of how life is meant to be. We need to show the world how things should be, as they should be. Because the kingdom of heaven is where everything is as it should be. And that's how we live our life. And it may not always go well. They may not understand it. They may say hurtful things. No, let me take that back. They will say hurtful things. Following Jesus was never guaranteed the world was going to love you. In fact, the complete opposite. But yet we stand true to him. And we show the world. It starts very small and very humble. But it will grow to where all creation finds its fulfillment. And that's what we're longing for. And that's what we're waiting for. And that's the perspective that we have. And that's why we can have such peace in this world. Because even if it goes very, very bad for us, what's on the other end is better than anything happening here. And for us, Christians, we know that the time is coming. And so we know that this is the time to prepare for it. And through our lives, people get a picture of what they should be longing for. And we do that through our perspective, through our patience, and through our peace. but for all the things that mark out what is the kingdom of heaven. The most distinguishing mark, the most glorious part, the part that unifies it all is its King, Jesus. At the end, it will be a hard life to follow because we won't be loved by the world, but we've got our King, and He is who is over us. Jesus, in a lot of ways, He is that mustard seed. He was the Son of God who left heaven to be born that helpless baby boy, lowly, humble, just like a mustard seed. But whereas the mustard seed grew to be that tree, Jesus grew to hang on a tree. And we call it the cross. Jesus, through a perfect life of faith, lived the life that we should have lived, came to do what we could not do and be perfectly obedient to God. And what did we do in thankfulness? We killed Him on the cross. And through His death on the cross, what He did was He took our sin. So even as I was preaching today, and there's certain things I said, and you're like, ooh, that one hurt. Ooh, yep, that was me. All of that, all of the ways that we've fallen short, all the ways that we said things that we should not have said, all the things that we posted and should not have posted, all the ways that we have grieved God by sinning against Him, Jesus took all of that and paid for it through His life and through His death on the cross. And that mustard seed grew to be the tree that would save us all. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the source of all truth. He demonstrated a love greater than any colorful flag in this world will ever be able to share. He is love incarnate. And He did for others what we can't do. He laid down His life for His enemies. What do we do with our enemies? We bicker with them on Facebook. Jesus has shown us something so much greater. Who He is and what He's done and what He offers is better than anything in this world. He has given us His life to undo the work of sin in our lives and in this world so that the kingdom of heaven might blossom where everything is as it should be and all of creation will find its fulfillment. So when the world offers nothing but trouble and bitterness and uncertainty and division, Jesus, our King, is our solid rock. And that's where we fly to. Where He is, He's waiting for us. He is waiting for us to put our faith and trust in Him. Our identity, our security, our home, our rest, and our nest is to be found in Him, our Savior, our Lord, our King, our solid rock. So I pray that your life may be marked by your hope and the fact that the mustard seed is growing and God is doing a great work and it will find fulfillment and you can live into that now and show the world what it will be like at the fulfillment of all things. Let's pray. Father, we long for the fulfillment of your kingdom. We long to see you, our King. But until that day, until that time, help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to be a people of perspective, to be a people of patience, to be a people of peace, and to know that even though your kingdom starts so small, it will grow to be so grand. It'll grow to be where everything is as it should be. And Lord, we know this will take time, so help us to be a people of patience. Patience with the world, patient with each other. Lord, we are going to fall short of you. We're going to fall short of your standard. We're going to fall short of how to love others. But Father, I pray that at least through it, we can point people to you. Father, I pray that we'd have a perspective knowing that you are doing a great work in this world, but you're also doing a great work in us. And I pray that we would have the eyes of Christ to see you working in the lives of those around us, maybe even those right next to us. And help us through us all, Father, to be people who personify peace, a peace that confuses the world, but yet is something they long for. And I pray, Lord, that we would do this for your glory, and through the power of the Spirit, and in the name of Jesus, we pray these things. And everyone said, amen and amen.